knows us. He knows what we are. He knows also what He meant us to be. And upon the difference between these two states, what we are and what He meant us to be, upon the difference of these two states, He founds His testimony concerning us. Now, He's too loving to say anything needlessly severe. He's too true to say anything untrue about us. Nor can He have any motive to misrepresent us. He loves to tell of the good and not of the evil. And at first, after the creation of man, creation of all that we know and see and determine to be world, planet, and so forth, He declared them good. In particular, man, who He created after His own image. When He created man after His own image, He declared him to be good. And if He does not do so now, it's not because He would not, but because He cannot. If He does not declare us good now, it's not because He would not, but it's because He cannot. Our text said that the earth was, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted His way upon the earth. Now, the divine testimony of God concerning us is this, that man is a sinner. He bears witness against us and not for us. Now, these things may sound trite to you, but they're true and need to be considered. He bears witness against us, not for us. He testifies against us and says that there is none righteous, no, not one. Turn over there to the 14th Psalm, if you will, hurriedly. Psalm 14. First couple of verses of that 14th Psalm. Listen as I read. God testifies against us, not for us. The first verse says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Of course, you know that means the fool has said in his heart, "There's no God for me." That's corrupt, fallen human nature's attitude towards the divine creator. "There is no God for me," the fool has said in his heart. No God for me. That is, maybe a God in the heavens that rules and reigns and controls and sustains and things of that nature, but He's not for me. There's no God for me. Now listen to the next statement. "They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God." This is God's testimony concerning us. This is God's witness against us, not for us. He looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. Did He find any that understood? Did He find any that truly sought God? Third verse says, "They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. God looked down upon the children of men, and he concluded that there was none that doeth good, no, not one. So we can conclude that man is a rebel, he's lost, he's went astray, and he's a hater of God, and he's corrupt. Not a sinner or not a sinner occasionally, but a sinner always. Not just occasionally, but a sinner always. Not a sinner in part, but a sinner in the whole. Not a sinner in part with many good things about him, but wholly a sinner. With no compensating goodness about him. There's evil in his heart, as well as in his life. In fact, the scriptures say that he's dead in trespasses and in sins. He's a breaker of the righteous law of God. Man has fallen. Not the man or that man, but the whole human race. All in Adam have sinned, and all in Adam have died. That's God's testimony concerning you and I this morning. That's God's witness against us, not for us, that all in Adam have died. Now, it's not that just a few leaves have faded, or a few leaves have been shaken or blown off of the tree. But the whole tree has become corrupt. The root as well as the branch. That is the flesh, the old man. That is each man as he is born into this world is corrupt. All flesh. That's what our text says. All flesh. He looked down upon the children of men to see if there were in it that doeth good. No, not one. So, in each man, as he's born into this world, he's corrupt. Corrupt. The very moment that flesh is given life, comes into this world, he's corrupt. That's God's testimony against us. Now, the outer, listen to me here this morning, I want you to see this. The outer life of a man is not the man. That's not the true man, the outer life of the man. That's our problem. That's the problem of this generation. That's the problem, that's been the problem of all generations. That they have through this conclusion, and it's a false conclusion, it's a false premise to build upon, that the outer life of a man is the true man, but the outer life of a man is not the true man. That is, judge whether a man is right with God because of his particular standards or morals or character and so forth. That's not necessarily true. Listen, just as the paint on a piece of wood is not the wood. Just as the green moss on a hard rock is not the rock itself. Just as a picture of a man is not the man. It's only a skillful arrangement of colors which look like the man, but is not the man itself. So it is the bearing of the soul towards God Almighty. This is the true state of man. his relationship to God. That's the true state of man. It's not the outward picture of man, which indicates or gives true evidence and witness as to the relationship that he has with God. That's not it at all. It's the bearing of the soul towards God that is the true state of man. Now, the man that loves God with all of his heart is in the right state. He's in the right condition. The man that loves God with all of his heart. Now, the man that does not love God with all of his heart evidently is in the wrong state or the wrong relationship with God himself. Any man, the Apostle Paul said, any man who loves not the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is a terrific statement. Any man that loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let that man be damned. That's what Paul said. If any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let that man be cursed. Let him be damned forever. Man may think his life is a good one, and others might think the same. But God counts him guilty. God counts him not only guilty, but he counts him worthy of death and hell. You see, the outward good cannot make up for the inward evil. Good deeds done to his fellow man cannot be set off against his bad thoughts to God. One thing I want you to remember here this morning is this. The outer life of a man is not the man. That's not the true man. Just as the picture of a man is not the true man. It's only the artist or the photographer's arrangements, colors, that makes it appear to be like the man. But it's not the true man. See? God's testimony then concerning us is this, that he, whosoever he might be, that does not love him with all of his heart, indeed does not love him at all. That's God's testimony against us. Don't love him with all of our heart. And as a matter of fact, man left to himself doesn't love God at all. That's a solemn charge against humankind. Doesn't love him at all. You know, it's a terrible sin not to love your neighbor. God counts that as a sin. If a man doesn't love his neighbor, that's a sin. You know that? That's right. If you don't love your neighbor, that's a sin. Now, it's a greater sin if you don't love your parents. If you don't love your parents, that's a greater sin than what it is not to love your neighbor. But not to love God is a greater sin than the other two, by far. Man doesn't love his neighbor, that's a sin. Man doesn't love his parents, that's a sin. Man that doesn't love God is a greater sin still. He doesn't love God. Now, man need not try to say a good word for himself or to plead not guilty. Unless, there's the catch to that. He need not try to say a good word for himself or to plead not guilty unless he can show that he loves God with all of his heart and all of his mind and all of his soul and all of his strength. See? Man need not try to say a good word for himself or to plead not guilty unless he can show that he loves and that he has always loved God with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his body and all of his strength. Now, if he can truly say this, if there's anybody here this morning, if you can truly say that, that you love God now, and you have always loved God with all your soul, strength, and body, if you can say that, well, you're all right. You're all right. You haven't got any problems. If you can really, genuinely, truthfully, before God say that, then you're all right. Because you're not a sinner. And you don't need any pardon. And you'll find your way to God's kingdom without the cross. And you can go there without a Savior. Now that's the truth. If you can truly say that nowhere can anybody bring up any evidence against you in regard to your disloyalty and unfaithfulness to God, that you have loved God supremely, every minute of every hour of every day of your life, and you're going to always do that. You can prove that. You've got a good case. Well, then you can find your way to the kingdom without the cross. But if you can't say this, I'm talking about God's testimony concerning us, and that's the charge. That's the first charge that God has against us, is that we do not love Him with all of our hearts. He looked down upon the children of men to see if there was any that doeth good, and His testimony concerning what He saw was this: there's none that doeth good, no, not one. No, not one. But if a man would want to defend himself and say, well, I don't want to plead guilty, I want to plead not guilty, because I love God with all of my heart. I've done that all of my life. Well, then you can go into the kingdom without the cross. You're not a sinner. See? But if you can't do this, if you can't say this, then your mouth is stopped. And I read those verses to you last week, I believe it is, where it says that in the book of Romans that the whole world, that every mouth shall be stopped and the whole world shall become guilty before God. So, if a man can't say this, his mouth is stopped and he's guilty before God. Now, the day in which we live, this time from the time of the resurrection unto now, I believe, this is man's day. This is man's day. When man's judgment prevails. But God's day is coming. When every case shall be tried on its true merits. Then the judge of all the earth shall do right, and the sinner shall be put to shame. See, this is man's day. Man's day. Man says, I'm a good fella, and his neighbors say, well, certainly he's a good fella. He certainly wouldn't go to hell when he dies. He's too good a fella to do that. That's man's opinion of other men. Sometimes we give false opinions, false testimony concerning somebody else when we judge them by this outer life. We judge them by this picture that we see, and we feel everything's all right because of something outward that we see. And we make our judgment determined, well, I'm sure that everything's this man's day. Man's day. Right now, but God's day is coming. But God's going to have His day. Now, you believe me in that matter. God's going to have His day whether we like it or whether we don't like it. God's going to have His day. And He's going to judge every case according to its true merit. Not according to that outward picture. Not according to the just as I said, just because the varnish on the wood doesn't make the wood. Well, the judge of all the earth is going to do right, and the sinner is going to be put to shame. So, the first charge then against us is that our hearts are not right with God. That's God's first charge against us. Our hearts are not right. We don't love Him with all of our hearts. We've transgressed. We've failed. We've broken down. The relationships between God and man have been broken because of our disloyalty, our unfaithfulness, because of our rebellion. And He's pronounced us. He's pronounced us guilty. He's pronounced us under wrath. He's pronounced us the children of the devil. That's what we are, outside of Christ. So the first charge that God has against us is that the heart is not right with God. Now, the second charge that God has against us is this. The heart is not right with the Son of God. You see? He said, your heart is not right with me, God the Father. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, no God for me. They're all corrupt. They've all went their own way. Everyone hath sought out his own way. Now it says, the heart is not right with the Son of God. Now, it is this second charge that God has toward us concerning His testimony, that is the crowning, crushing sin. And it carries with it more condemnation than all of our other sins put together. God charges us. He says, your heart is not right with my Son. Now listen. God has a controversy with this, with the human race. God has a controversy with it. I'll tell you what that controversy, I'll tell you the issue of the controversy. Now, the issue is not, it's not that we went to the liquor store and bought a pint of liquor. It's not that we went to the Hollywood show. Those things are wrong. Granted, those things are wrong. But that's not the controversy and that's not the issue. The issue that God has with this lost world is this. Their hearts are not right with His Son. That's the issue. Any other issue apart from that is wrong. I know there's so many brush fires that's got to be put out in order to get down here to the main issue. And some, you know, they stick up this and say, well, your problem is that well, you're a drunkard. Your problem is that you've done this. Your problem is you've done that. Your problem is that if you don't do this, well, you've got to do this. And there's all kinds of little fires breaking out everywhere, little sores on the flesh. And man gets to, he begins to combat these little fires, begins to spread and put them out, you know, and his time and energy and thinking is consumed. And he's off to the real issue. You don't know what the issue is. The real issue is this. God says, my charge against you and the lost world is this. Your heart's not right me, and your heart is not right with my Son. This is my beloved Son whom I've sent into this world, and ye have crucified Him. Your heart's not right with my Son. You don't believe on my Son. That's the charge I make against you. And that's the charge, brethren, that God will make at His day. This is man's day, but God's day is coming, and when that day comes, that's the charge man, God's going to make against man. Your heart's not right with me, God the Father, and you've never believed on my Son. That's right. Let me read three or four verses of Scripture here to you. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I want you to turn with me there if you've heard to find it. John chapter 3, verse 18. John 3 and 18, listen to this. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. This is what I want you to see. You see, I said that God's second charge against us was what? That our heart was not right with God or with the Son, which is saying that we do not believe upon the Son. Now, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is he condemned already? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The crowning, crushing sin that's going to be so worthy of condemnation is that sin right there, of not believing on the Son of God. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He's not judged. But he that believeth not is judged already. Why? Because he hath not. He hath not. Underscore those words. He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's God's testimony concerning us this morning. We haven't believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear a lot of people, you know, and I believe, I've always believed, not for the saving of your soul. You've never came and brought yourself under his subjection and his discipline, his lordship. Everybody believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Historically, or they believe some fact about him. They believe that he existed or even exists right now, but that's not what I'm talking about. And you know that's not what I'm talking about. Everybody in the United States, they say, well, this is a Christian nation. Maybe it is. I don't know. But Christ doesn't rule here. That's one thing for sure. He's not the Lord of this nation. But nevertheless, everybody in this nation, I suppose, has been confronted with this question. Do you believe on the Son of God? And it's just rolled off of their lips without any thinking whatsoever. Yes, I believe. Why, certainly I believe. But their lives have never been changed. Now, when a man believes on the only, in the name of the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, his life has changed. Life has changed. He loves God. He loves him supremely with all of his heart. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's conscious of his insincerity. He's conscious of his sin. He's conscious of his unfaithfulness, disloyalty, and so forth. And he wants God to be pleased in Christ. And he's obedient to it. These things. Well, listen to another verse over here. In the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 16. It's verse 16. Mark 16 and 16, I believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now listen to this. But he that believeth not what? Believeth on the Son. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Then turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 10. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, why. Why has man made God a liar? Now listen to me. Some of you here this morning, and you're making God a liar. Now that's all there are to it. Now I'm going to be frank with you. You're making God a liar. You're going to have to answer for it, not me. If you think about it a little bit, now I'm talking plain. This is what you call plain talking. But I'm telling you, if you don't believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're making God Almighty a liar. Now, that's you can't get any plainer than that. And if you're offended, you're going to have to be offended. That's all there are to it. If you expect me to come around and apologize to you because I called you a liar, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. Listen now, because God said it. God said it. Now, I'm just quoting. Listen to what it says. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God, he that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. Now that's plain. That's plain. If a man doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the saving of his soul, he's made God a liar. And I'll tell you where all liars will wind up. I'll tell you where all liars are going to wind up. Going to wind up in a bottomless pit. 11th verse says, and this is the record. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Such is God's condemnation of mankind. Great love of God that would send his Son to be so degraded and humiliated, suffer and be despised, be condemned by this world. Oh, I'll tell you, it's because this is the basis of God's condemnation to this lost world. The basis of God's condemnation is the gospel, the preaching of the world to his Son. That's the reason that the issue God has, the controversy that God has with this world right now, is you haven't believed on my Son. You don't believe it. You don't believe the record that I gave you concerning my Son. You don't believe it. A man doesn't believe it, he's going to wind up in hell. That's all they are to it. That's it. And I say that with tears in my heart. A man that doesn't believe it made God a liar. And it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. What he's doing, when you don't believe it, you're saying, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. This God business, this Bible business, this preaching business, this church business, this holy business, I'm tired of it, I'm sick of it, I don't want to hear no more of it. Just leave me alone. That's what you're saying, and God's going to leave you alone. He'll leave you alone, and one day you'll drop off. You'll drop off because you made God a liar. He left you alone. This is a divine verdict. Not a human one. It's not one that I made. It's not my verdict. I didn't make it. It's a divine verdict, not a human one. It is God, not man, that condemns. And God is not a man that he should lie. This is God's testimony concerning us. We know that this witness is true. We ought to receive it. We ought to receive this witness, this record. God gave us a record of his Son. And if we don't receive that record, well then, we have to suffer the consequences. One more reason now. One more charge that God made against humankind. God's testimony concerning us. Number one is that your heart is not right with me. Number two, your heart is not right with the Son of God. And number three. Now, there are several inspired sermons found in the Scriptures. Sermons that were addressed to the Jews and the Gentiles alike. In fact, there is a sermon here in the book of Acts. Let me see if I can find that real quick. I think maybe in the third chapter of the book of Acts, or the second chapter of the book of Acts. Second chapter. Now listen. This is an inspired sermon by Peter. And the result of this sermon to these Jews, Gentiles alike, was that their hearts were pricked. Their hearts were pricked. And it was 3,000 of them saved at that time. Now, what was the essence of this inspired, simple gospel sermon? Well, you just have to read it yourself. But if you take my word for it, it has to do with the simple story of the life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what it has to do with. The simple story of the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it concludes with these awful words found in verse 36. And this is the third charge that God has concerning us. You see? Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, now listen, that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, O Lord and Christ. Oh, I'll tell you. When this inspired preacher concluded with these awful words, which must have sounded like a trumpet of doom to those who heard it, I'll tell you, it'd be awful. To have someone tell you with authority that you have broken the whole law of God. Someone that just like David of old came to David. He confronted David and he said, David, you're the man. Put the finger right in David's face and he said, you're the man. You remember the story. Told him about the, he said, now there was a fellow out there, he said he just had one little old sheep. Just a little old lamb. That's all that he had. He said he thought the world of it. He said he petted it. He said he didn't have any children. Just had that little lamb. And he said it was his. And said, my, what companionship and what comfort he derived from that little lamb. And he said, over here's another fellow that had thousands and thousands of them. And he said, you know that fellow that had thousands and thousands of them? He went over there and he stole that little lamb off that fellow over there. Why, David said, as sure as God lives in heaven, he said, I'll have that man's life. Who is that man? And David said, you're the man. You're the man. Now, listen, it'd be a terrible thing for someone like Nathan to put his finger under our nose or right in our eyes and say, you're the man. You've broken God's law. Now, that, boy, I'll say it'd make you wilt, but it'd make you wilt. But listen, it would not be near as terrible or as awful as being told you have crucified Jesus Christ. You have crucified my Son. That's what God, that's God's charge against you. That's it right there. That's his third charge. What everyone to know is that the whole house of Israel to know this one thing. Not as sure as I that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified. You crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. You crucified. Terrible, isn't it? Oh, I'll tell you. Listen. The sin of crucifying the Lord of glory, the sin of crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than breaking a thousand. When God judges every case in its true merit, in its true light, we'll find out that breaking a thousand of God's law will not carry with it the condemnation of crucifying His Son. He charges us. He charges you and I, every son of Adam, every daughter, charges us all with crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see something else here. He hath declared also that there is deliverance in him whom you murdered. That's what he said. He said the only way that you can be delivered from these charges that I have against you is in him who you murdered. So you see, there's life in that death. That's the gospel. Life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Life in the gospel. In other words, the nails that fastened the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross also lets out a pent-up stream of divine love that flows upon the murderers of the Son of God. You and I, we were there. We were there. We were there in those then by representation. We'd have done just exactly what they done. We'd have shouted, kill him. We'd have said, give me the hammer and I'll drive the first nail. You know, it was a believed gospel that melted the heart of these self-righteous Jews. A believed gospel. The gospel must be believed. The gospel won't mean anything until it's believed. That's the reason I say we've got to believe upon the only name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to believe upon His. We've got to believe upon that name. It's the believed gospel that melted the hearts of these self-righteous Jews, and nothing less but the good news of the gospel, of God's free favor, God's free grace, condemning the sin, yet pardoning the sinner, will in our day melt the hearts of poor sinners. Now, God doesn't ask any preparation of any kind whatsoever from you or me. He didn't ask no preparation. Them small fires burning out there in preparation business. That'll keep you from the fire. That's the trouble with most churches today. They got so much do's and don'ts and buts and all of that that they keep men from Christ rather than bring them to Christ. God doesn't require any preparation on your part. Legal or evangelical, outward or inward, to the coming sinner, he that will not come as he is shall not be received. Is that right? He that will not come as he is shall not be received. It is not the humbled seeker or the earnest users of the means of grace, nor any of the better class of Adam's sons and daughters. It is sinners that Christ welcomes. Sinners. If a man man doesn't come that way, he won't be received. Most people try to dress themselves up before they come. Well, if I could just, I'll change my mind about this, and I'll change my mind about that, and I won't do this, and I won't do that, and then I'll start reading the Bible, or I'll start praying, or I'll start doing this or something else, and then I'm sure that I'll be acceptable. God will accept me now because He sees I'm making an earnest effort to be a Christian. No, God will never receive you. God will never receive you. He'll never receive you until you come just like you are, as a sinner. See? Come just like you are. God's charge against you, and He's charged against me that our hearts are not right with Him, or our hearts are not right with His Son, and ultimately we have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're guilty sinners, worthy of death and worthy of hell. And He said, "Come to me, and I'll pardon you of your transgressions and of your sins through Him who you have killed. And I have made Him both Lord and Christ." Now there's life in the Lord. There's life in the Lord Jesus.